Good evening. It's good to see everybody. Thank you guys for being here on Sunday night. We're going to get started. Let me start us out with prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would guide our thoughts and our hearts today as we talk about a variety of things, Lord, particularly with the potential merge coming up. Would you, Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Would you show us clearly whether or not this is what you want for us to do? We want to follow your will for this church and to be walking in step with you in that. So would you make that clear and evident, and would you be in our midst right now? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to get started with the finance report. Sandy.
Everybody got a copy? Okay, we're looking at the finance report for May. And we started out with a book balance at the end of April for our checking account at $33,440.58. We had receipts totaling $21,974.47. We had a little bit of interest there, $35. Designated contributions were $49.58. So we had a total receipts of $26,932.82. And down in the next block are the expenditures. We had budgeted expenses and accrued payroll taxes of $20,591.66. The designated contributions were transferred, and that's the same amount that's in the above block, $49.58. So our total operating fund expenditures for May was $25,549.06. Which means we had a book balance at the end of May for the operating checking account of $34,823.74. Go on down to the next block, and this is the designated contributions of $49.58, a little bit of interest, 13 cents, for a total of $49.58.13. I'm sorry, we started out in this designated with a balance of $16,850.39. Okay, and then we had expenditures in the designated of $24,75.86. So we ended up with a balance of $19,332.66. In the next block is our money market account. And our beginning balance was $37,933.41. We drew a little bit of interest, so our ending balance was $37,939.65. And then the next block is the adjustments, and that's the accrued payroll taxes for the month, which is $1,050.58. So all said and done, balance at the end of May is $91,045.47. The last block on there shows you where all of these funds are located. Any questions on any of that? Okay. When you turn over to the next two pages, you will see a ledger that gives us the budget accounts and their numbers. There is May receipts, May expenses, there is the remaining balance, and then on that second to the last column, it shows where we are here at the in the month of May as far as percentage of our totals. So you can look through the May receipts, if you look down through there. Of course, we didn't have any. You go on to the second page, and of course we didn't have any. And then we go over to the May expenses on both pages. And you'll see that we had some expenses in the student ministry, in the children's ministry, our website and mobile app, music, literature, and supplies, small group curriculum. And then we've got the staff and support, which would include the payroll, disability premiums, and the payroll taxes. And going on down, we've got some office supplies, we've got utilities, telephone, repairs, maintenance, GP equipment, contracts and services, van repairs and fuel, for a total of $20,595.10. Now, if you look at that second to the last column, you'll see that at the end of May, we were at 41.67%, which is pretty good. I mean, we're here in June right now, and we should be at 50%. So I think we're doing pretty good there. And then the last column, of course, if you want to see how much is left in each one of those accounts, that will give you that information. Everybody following me? Great. Okay, on the next page, this is the designated receipts and expenses. And here again, you will see May receipts and May expenses. And then the last column will tell you the balance available in each of those accounts. So looking down, we did have four, I think, roof leaks during the month of May that we had to get fixed. And so that's what that $756.97 is. Okay, and then go on down to Tabitha's table, and you'll see we had some contributions and then the expenses for May for Tabitha's. The student ministry, we've got some receipts. And going on down, Judy paid Annie Armstrong offering. And then we've got a receipt and expense for missions. We have a receipt for the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home Mother's Day offering. And then on down, we've got a little bit of interest. Any questions there? Okay, and then lastly, you'll see the graphs. And for the month of May, you'll see our budget, our monthly budget for May was $30,160. The receipts received was $21,974.47. Our expenses were $20,591.66, which leaves us in the black, yay, $1,382.81. And then the graph below is the cumulative totals. And you'll see that we are still in the red as far as January through May. Okay.
Any questions about the finance report? All in favor? I'm sorry, motion to pass the finance report. All right, second? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. At this time, we'll do Jack's report here.
Well, from student ministry, I kind of just did that a few Sundays ago. If you weren't here this past Sunday, I encourage you to go back and look at that service. It was just a great testimony from the students about their experience over in Andrews, North Carolina, at the Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters. We took 7 students and 3 adults to that camp, and it was just a great experience, as always, because of the content. And that's really what I spoke to during the message last Sunday, was just the theology that this camp presents to our students when we're there for the week. Not only that, but how the college students work with our students. As I mentioned, one of the highlights for me that week was seeing the student from our group go into the gift store and buy his own Bible with his money, because he wanted a Bible from the camp. Wanted a nice leather-bound Bible, but then I saw that college student that was assigned to our guy show him how to read through the Gospel of Matthew and take notes in his journal, and he was doing that on his free time all by himself. I saw him doing that, and it's just the hand of God at work, creating a passion for his word, and that's what this camp does. It creates a culture when you're there, you think being a Christian is cool. And I want to be a part of this. And so for me, that was the highlight. But it's always that Friday night service that always gets me choked up when I see students that have never expressed their faith in kind of an outward expression. They're raising their hands and they're looking around and they're seeing they're not the only ones that are feeling it, that are experiencing this Holy Spirit moving through them in worship like they've never experienced it before. And so if you weren't here last Sunday, I encourage you to go on our website and see that service and just hear from the students and about the content. So there's not too much going on in the student ministry this summer, kind of taking a break, and then we'll relaunch as school starts back up. From property and space, we have had a lot of leaks, and those keep jumping in front of all the chores that are on our list, but I think we're past those now and ready to tackle some of the other projects that are on our list. But if you know of something that needs addressed in the church, just let me know or let Gary Garrison know. We'd be glad to tackle that. But if you would like to join us on Tuesdays, we meet in the fellowship hall at 9:30, and we're usually done by 11:30. So just a couple hours there on Tuesdays. But, you know, we can always use more people and spread out and tackle some of the things that we just keep putting on the back burner. So, but let me know if there are other projects that need to be done. I think that's about it for this. Any questions? Oh, yeah. One other thing I wanted to share with you. Recently, I had the joy of going up to Oakdale to meet with a minister from the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. He wanted to do a highlight feature on our Miss Betty McMahon. She has had such a rich history of ministering to Oakdale and to Briceville. And so you can look forward to seeing this article coming out in the fall edition of the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home newsletter. But it's really in an effort to encourage others to adopt foster homes across our state. We don't have many of these properties that the state actually owns themselves. They got out of that approach because of all the necessities that come with residential properties. And now they're focusing more on foster homes. And so if everybody had a grandparent like a Betty McMahon that would, you know, send them birthday cards and make sure they had the hygiene, a closet, so that when a new student came into the home, they would love that. And so just look forward to that article, but just be in prayer and just how God might use you to help a foster parent, somebody. It doesn't even have to be with the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. Maybe you know somebody in our congregation or somebody from work that's a foster parent. They could use some support. Let me tell you. All right, that's all I've got.
All right, any other ministry reports? Come on up.
It's that time of year. Tabitha's table always begins its new year in September, and in July and August is when I get the news whether somebody, whether everyone is going to continue or not. Please continue. And if I have people that leave, please join. It is such a worthy mission. It really is. And it has been going all of these years through God's provision and God only. Because he moves us to give, he moves us to serve, and he keeps bringing the people to come and partake. And we're thankful.
All right, any other ministry reports? Okay, so at this time we're going to talk about the, we're going to let the exploratory committee kind of give their report. There's going to be several of us speaking, so Jack is going to be starting us out. Oh, it's Carol now. Okay, sorry.
Good evening. All right. The exploratory committee from both churches are using this book, Better Together, as a guideline to help us through the merger process. And Jack has recommended that all church members read this book. It'd be very helpful. As the authors have been helping churches through this process for over 20 years. And so I'm going to explain some of the terms that they use and some of the ideas around church mergers. There's a quote in the book that says something like, we didn't make the ocean and we can't make the waves. God does all of that. All we can do is jump in and ride the wave. And this quote reminded me of the Experiencing God study with Henry Blackaby that we did a few years ago, where he said that what we need to do, what our job is, to find out what God is doing and join him where he's working. So the authors see churches merging as a great wave of God in our, or a great movement of God in our time, all across the world. He's working right now, especially in countries where Christianity has been established for a long time and where there are churches that are declining because they've been around for a long time. So they define merger as two or more local churches at different stages leveraging their commonalities and complementary differences to achieve a common purpose, doing life and ministry together as a vibrant, healthy, local expression of Christ's body, the church. So Robertsville and the Ridge Church are at two different stages. There's a bell curve in the book describing church life stages, and churches tend to increase and grow in the beginning over time, and then after they reach a peak, they're on the other side of the bell curve and they start to decline. So the Ridge Church is on this upward trajectory, having success and reaching new people with the gospel, having some vibrant ministries, and RBC is on the downward side of the curve in a stage that the book describes as being stable or stuck. So the terms you will hear regarding the process are the lead church and the joining church. Because Ridge is experiencing growth and success, that they would be the lead church and we would be the joining church. The book calls a merger between churches in these stages an adoption merger. So Ridge Church would be adopting Robertsville. It wouldn't, because it wouldn't make sense for a church that is not having success to adopt a church that is having success. So Wendy will talk about more what that means practically. But this is what the book says about adoption mergers. Adoption mergers are not for desperate churches in danger of immediate extinction, but more for stable or stuck churches who embrace the synergistic benefit of joining a stronger church. They recognize that their church's mission will be better fulfilled by submitting their name, ministries, and assets to a church that can multiply its impact beyond what it could do by remaining solo. Though the adopted church turns over everything to the lead church, it usually brings assets to the table in addition to a congregation of people, facilities, staff, and ministry programs that are often integrated into the lead church's overall strategy. Like an adopted child, they take on a new name and relationship, but they also add a dimension to their new parent that enhances the whole family. And so the authors say that we will most likely go through a grief process if we decide to merge. And this is what they say about the grief process. Even when the joining church fully embraces the merger, there is still sadness and a sense of loss. It feels like a death to them because it is the end of the church as they know it, where they have poured their blood, sweat, and tears. This is the church where they were baptized, got married, dedicated their children, donated their tithes and offerings, and buried their loved ones. Though their story continues by merging with another church, this chapter of their story is coming to an end, and they're afraid that many memories will be forever lost. Lead churches need to understand that everyone in the joining congregation will experience the five stages of grief, and don't make the mistake of underestimating the pain in transition. It deserves our attention and respect. And the five stages that we can expect to go through. The first stage is just like a regular grief process. The first stage is denial. For example, I can't believe this is happening to my church. I didn't understand that we were struggling this much. The second stage is bargaining. Can't we just fix our church ourselves? We could buckle down and reorganize and reduce the budget. The third stage is anger. I feel kicked in the gut. I'm devastated and feel betrayed. I like my church the way it is, and now it will become something I don't know or like. I gave a lot of money and time here, and now all that effort is down the drain. And the fourth stage is depression. I'm sad I'm losing the church I love. It feels like a death has occurred. And then the last stage is acceptance. I will embrace the new reality, accept the new leadership, and trust God for the outcome. I can see some benefits in merging. I'm excited about the next chapter of my church. Now, Brittany was going to talk about some things that we're going to do to help us through the grief process if we do decide to merge, but she is not here. I think she's not feeling well, so somebody else will do that. Okay, and lastly, there were a few more quotes in the book from people who had been through mergers that hit home with me. The first one is, people like to believe there's no church like our church. There must be relinquishment of some things we love, but there will also be gains. And the second one is, do we want to be vehicles of change or preservers of the status quo? The third one, could we do more for God's glory united with another church than we are doing alone? And the last one is, what matters most isn't the church of us, but the church of Jesus.
All right, thank you. So my portion is to kind of mention changes and things that would occur in the worship area. So one of the things that I've liked about this process is it's focused on kingdom advancement. It's all about what's the most beneficial for the kingdom of God, not necessarily our personal preferences. Because if we go for personal preferences, everybody has their own personal preference, right? I want to stress that at the beginning. It's what's going to advance the kingdom of God the most and build up the church. So as far as worship, kind of just some of the practical things. I mean, if you've been to their, how many of you went to their Good Friday service? Or have seen them in some way? Okay, their worship service is pretty similar to ours in a lot of ways. They have a worship band. Now, they don't have a choir, but they do have, a team of vocalists that are on a mic. So there's a lot of similarities there with style of music. Their approach is very similar to ours. So it would be minor changes, it's not going to be a complete, 180 from what we're used to if we decide to move forward. Now, one thing that is different is that I didn't even realize at first is they implement a rotation kind of system, even with their preaching. Pastor Bobby only preaches about 35 times a year. They have a teaching team. So the other, there's an elder and there's the executive pastor that will fill in and teach on those other Sundays. But they use the same approach with their current worship leader. She doesn't lead, per se, like in front of everybody every week. She's also on a rotation. And when I first heard that, I was a little confused until I thought about it. You know, like, that gives her a chance to be making relationships and being in the congregation and worshiping. And same with the pastors. They get a chance to hear and be fed themselves. And so it creates a little bit more of a healthy dynamic in a lot of ways. It's they're big on equipping the body of Christ and equipping new leaders to come up. So it's not just like one person doing everything and everyone else is just kind of here. It's a lot of equipping and training up. So that would be probably, again, a lot of this is still kind of preliminary. We're still trying to figure out exactly what this would look like. But there'd be some rotation with instrumentalist, with vocalist, and things like that. And even whoever is officially leading. I mean, the worship pastor position would still stay the same, but it's not going to be necessarily the same person leading the service as far as singing. So that's a little different. So it would be an adjustment. Now, they don't have a choir. So we've talked about kind of variations of how can we kind of blend those two. And so we've talked about different options, and we haven't officially decided. So I don't want to get too far into the details on stuff that we're still brainstorming. But we are trying to find ways to still incorporate a praise course. It may not necessarily be every week. There may be, again, we're still trying to figure out some of those details. But they do see the value in a choir and things like that. They're just trying to, figure out a way to make it work. Let's see. Another thing that is important is even with a, like what was mentioned earlier, the lead church and the joining church. When I heard about, like, it's common for churches in a merger to think, okay, it's 50-50. Everybody splits things down the middle. That's the best approach. And you would think that is, but from that book, and these are people who've done this successfully in multiple, churches, they have said that the 50-50 approach almost never works. It's the one that works, the approach that works is the lead church and the joining church. And the analogy that made the most sense for me is think of like a dance. Two people dancing, someone leads, the other follows. So it's not that the joining church is less than, but in this case of a merging situation, the leading church is the one where they're on the beginning of that bell curve, where things are growing and you can see the Spirit is moving. And then the church that is maybe kind of on the downside, where, that doesn't mean the Lord's not moving, but, it's just a different stage in the life of the church. They become the joining church. And so it infuses new life into the joining church, and there's benefits from joining together. So, in other words, from a worship standpoint, what they're doing is working. So we're trying to figure out a way to join in with that and still let them lead that. So that is going to require some flexibility on our parts. On my part, it's going to be different. We're still brainstorming and nothing has been decided. But I just wanted to encourage and stress it's what benefits the kingdom the most, rather than, well, I really like this, or I really like the way this is done musically, or those kinds of things. And I want to be sensitive that, Carol said, there's a little bit of a grieving process sometimes. If there's an aspect of worship that we've always really liked, and if that's not the same anymore, then there is a bit of a feeling of loss. And so I want to empathize with that. And again, we're still in that brainstorming process of exactly what it will look like. But I personally am excited because the vision that they have, that we've talked about, is one that I think will grow the kingdom of God on, advance the kingdom of God on earth more so than each individual church could do on its own. So, and then also there's other opportunities that we've talked about, worship for, like other ministries, like the youth ministries. We have combined resources there, staff and things like that. So we've attempted to start like a worship band with the youth, and it had kind of worked, but we kind of ran out of people that were available to help, you know, because we're stretched so thin in a lot of ways at this church as far as volunteers. Everybody's volunteering in three or four different things. So that will give a little bit more opportunities for equipping the young students to learn to play instruments and to lead worship and other people to have opportunities to serve in those ways. So, and again, that's just kind of brainstorming the beginning of a lot of opportunities in the worship area. Any questions on that?
So our last meeting with the Ridge, we were going through the questions at the end of the book and the appendix from chapter 15, which are really the feasibility study questions. You're both asking this question, as we answer these questions, how can this work? How could a merger like this work? And so one of the questions was, why are you interested in this merger? And to the Ridge Church, they responded, number one, kingdom opportunity. We've always believed that the Lord has placed us in Oak Ridge and this west side of the city for a strategic purpose. It gives us great opportunity to reach people not only in Anderson County, but in the Roan, Morgan, and Knox counties. We even have a family that drives from Oneida. I think churches need to reach a tipping point to make that reach happen, and joining together may be a big part of that tipping point. And for me, you know, missions is my passion. You know, I believe God designed me in a way that, you know, I can connect with people and I see the need and, man, I want to attack that need. I want to help them see that God has something in store for them. And, you know, tonight I wasn't really able to give too much of a missions report during my time. We did have a plan for a community cookout when school resumes, but right now, we're just a little afraid to pull the trigger on that expenditure this close to seeing the way things are. So we're going to hold off maybe till the fall there. But that's not to say we're not doing missions. We are. I took a student recently that I've been helping. Well, he's out of high school now. But I took a guy I've been helping over to Torch Ministries for housing. And I shared with the girl in the office there, you know, we've got the meal on Monday night. We've got the clothes closet. She said, oh, yes, I know all about your church and the way you help out people. And so we do missions. We do. And it's not to the magnitude, though, that the Ridge does. And I want you to look at the sheet here. It's that grid there that shows you the finances that they spend on missions this past year in 2024. So first of all, in church planning, 65, 99, 27 there for church planning. And so if they have somebody that comes to them and says, you know, I believe God's calling me to the mission field to start a church, will this church help me? Absolutely. We have funds for that, and we want to help you with that. I wish I had more information about some of their stories there. That just slipped my mind to get that before tonight. But then there's the church community care. And I'm not even, oh, yeah, some of that. Well, that's in the next category. I'll have to come back to that one. It'll probably come back to mine. But the community outreach, $70,000 there. All right, so DC stands for Dollar Club. And what they do there, it's kind of like what Mary Liz used to do in her class. You know, everybody that would come to class would put in a dollar each week, but that money would just grow and grow and grow until there was a need for it. And so the Dollar Club is kind of like that. When you come to church at the Ridge, there's a box that you can put your offering in for that. And anybody that has aware of a need, maybe it's a neighbor that needs something fixed, or I don't know, a church member has something they need. Well, you can fill out this form to get the Dollar Club ministry funds to support it. But then the challenge is for you to involve somebody else in carrying out that ministry. And so it is putting hands and feet right into the mission field with this financial support from the Dollar Club. And they have had so many success stories coming out of that. One was a coffee cart for the Claxton School. Another one was teacher appreciation parties. Another one has been Thanksgiving meal packages or Torch blessing bags, where anybody that goes into Torch for housing can also get a blessing bag. Christmas trees for the Children's Hospital. And it just goes on and on. And these are listed on their website under missions, if you wanted to take a look at that. But anyone can apply. Anyone who considers the Ridge their home can apply for a grant up to $250. But it has to be something local. Projects need to assist something or someone local other than the person applying. And number three is do it together. Find at least two or more people to do the project with. Multiply the money if you can. We hope you can get creative and multiply the gift. Instead of using the $250 to help pay someone's medical bills, the $250 could be used to put together a fundraiser to raise $1,000. So those are some of the ideas behind Dollar Club. Then there's the schools that's listed there on community outreach. They are in just about every school in Oak Ridge. I believe he said Anderson County. And they just have a connection there. With all the teachers that they know, and they get into these schools, and the schools know if there is a need, they call the Ridge Church. And then missions. And this was something I was really excited about recently. They go with Worldwide 127, so I encourage you to look up that website, Worldwide 127. And I was going to go with them to Nepal, but that trip is on hold right now because most flights that connect from the U.S. to Nepal connect through Doha there in Qatar, which was the site for the missiles being launched from Iran recently. So we've decided, let's wait and see if this truce holds up or not. We can always go later. And so that's kind of where we are on that. But I was talking to the team leader last week on a Zoom call, and she was telling me about Arjun is his name that leads the ministry site there in Kathmandu. And he has a home for children that are orphans or need a place to live. Human trafficking is just a terrible crime there in Nepal and northern India. And this really worked to combat that. One of the kids that he recently took in was an 11-and-a-half-year-old girl that was pregnant recently. And it's just, it's heartbreaking when you hear some of the stories of these children. I watched a video of Nepal, and it's very common for arranged marriages for the girl to be 14 years old. And they have to pay this dowry then to the groom's family. And if he doesn't have enough money, then that girl is treated very severely. And there is still the caste system in Nepal, but Arjun is having great effectiveness in his ministry as a Christian. He's known as a Christian there, and he will help support community groups with resources, and so they know if they have a need, they go to him. And so we want to continue to support that type of ministry, where he is able to share the gospel, but also meeting needs. So that's in missions there. Then they also include Ridge Kids and their student ministry in their missions outreach. But those budgets are quite a bit more than we have here at Robertsville. And so that brings them to a grand total of $100,000 in missions. And I tell you, that is phenomenal for a church their size to have that budget. I am just so excited about the potential there. But Bobby recently had a girl come up after a mission trip they took to Kenya and said, Bobby, I believe God's calling me to the mission field. Will the Ridge Church help support me? And he said, absolutely. You know, and it's not like we haven't ever had that at Robertsville, but it's been a while, you know. And I am just excited for that potential to be here again, to have the Holy Spirit moving in us in ways, leading us to places we probably never even thought of going. But God is at work, and he's doing these things. Any questions about missions from the Ridge that I could answer? All right, thanks.
The part that Brittany was going to talk about was one of the questions had come up, the name. What would the name of the church be? So I'm going to mention some of that. So at this point, the name of the church would probably still be the Ridge Church, since we are the joining church. But they've thought of other ways. They want to honor the legacy of Robertsville. So there's several ways that were mentioned. One was like a legacy wall in the building somewhere that would honor the history of Robertsville. Another would be you know, on their website, a story about Robertsville and those things. And then another part was just naming a portion of the building after Robertsville. I don't know, like the Robertsville Wing or something. I mean, I just kind of came up with that. But something like that. They're wanting to honor our legacy as much as they can. But for various reasons, since they are so well-known in the community, changing the name kind of would change that dynamic and I think would be more not as beneficial in that case from the outreach standpoint, since the community already recognizes their name, the Rich Church. So we would be potentially keeping their name, the Rich Church, or Rich Church, I guess is officially the name. Any other things about the name that we need to mention? All right. Questions. I know there was a lot that we went through in just a few minutes. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Wendy, come on up. No, I did. I overlooked it. My bad.
So as we're exploring the merging with Ridge Church, one of the aspects that we need to understand is that of culture. So the book talks about how healthy mergers aren't about rejecting or erasing the identity of a joining church, but incorporating it into the new identity while taking on the DNA of the lead church to become part of a healthy and growing church body doing God's work. So where we can expect to experience growing pains during this merger journey, we need to remember how our vision and mission statements work with the Ridge's vision and mission statements. So RBC's stated mission is to live fully in Christ's love and lead others to experience God's grace and freedom. And we pursue this mission from a more traditional mindset or culture. The Ridge's values are to love Jesus, live generously, and impact the community, with their stated discipleship pathway being be with Jesus, be like Jesus, do what Jesus did, follow the ways of Jesus. And they pursue this from a little bit more contemporary mindset and culture. So while we do have commonalities, merging with the Ridge Church and taking on their culture will be a little bit different for us. But we need to remember that successful mergers are vehicles of change, not preservers of the status quo. And while we will be bringing some of Robertsville culture with us, we cannot let holding on to the RBC way of doing things prevent us from taking on the Ridge Church's culture. Just as Luke talks about new wine needing to be poured into new wine skins, we need to take on the merged identity and culture and pour into the newly merged church. So this change can be difficult and even painful, as we've already talked about. It is through change that we grow, and we can become more and more the people and the church that God can use in amazing ways.
Thank you, Wendy. Sorry, I forgot about you. All right. Any questions? Yes. Okay, so the question was, will they be coming into this church? Yes, they would be leaving their facility. I guess they're over there. They'll be leaving their facility and coming to our facility. Tentative plan is, can I share this part about Freedom Hope? Yeah, so the tentative plan is that Freedom Hope, the church that is sharing with us here, would occupy their building. So it'd be kind of like a swapping spaces. They would come here and we'd join, and then Freedom Hope would have their own building, so we'd no longer have two services, us and then Freedom Hope meeting, if that makes sense. But yeah, they would come to this building. There'd be some changes that they would make as far as like signage, obviously, and some things around a building as far as updates. But honestly, I mean, we've been needing to do some updates in certain areas of the building for a while, so that would be in line with what our desire is anyway. They would be here, and there's, you know, a process that would take place to get to that point as far as the transition period. Great question. Yes. Okay, the Ridges Sunday School structure. I'm saying that because we're recording it in case someone's watching it later. I want them to be able to hear the question. So they do small groups. I think they call them community groups. And they're all about that. And we've talked about how most of our life groups meet like right after church service. And so far, Pastor Bobby has said we can just kind of join both approaches. That most of their life groups don't meet right after the service. They meet like throughout the week. But he was not opposed to continuing to do both the same, you know, just kind of throwing them together. And that just gives people more opportunities, more open available time slots that work with people's schedules. But they're big on community groups, which is great because we are too. I think that's a strength of our church by far. So I see those things as working very well together. Other questions? Let's see, Judy. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if we've ever officially decided. I'm sure it will probably get moved around a little bit, but I don't know if we've ever officially decided the time.
Can we weigh in on the time?
Sure. But when we get to that point, we can. I don't know if they have a particular time slot in mind. They have two services right now. That's right. So in regards to that, they currently have two services because they are packed. They're out of space, so they've out of necessity had to do that. So as of right now, the initial plan is to, if the merge happens, that we'd be all combined in one service. So the room is going to be pretty full. They, on average, I think have around 250 people a Sunday. Not just like on the roll, but like actually showing up. So we have around 50 to 60, depending on the week, you know. So, I mean, we're looking around maybe 300. I mean, things are going to change, and, you know, some people, you know, maybe are not here certain weeks or whatever. But we're looking at a substantial increase in the size of our congregation from, like, the first week. So that being said, the initial thought is to put everybody in the same room, one service, so we can enjoy that, you know, at least to start out. Gail, I think, had a question. Yes. Right. Yes. So that is a legitimate factor because it is elder led, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different views people can have on that stuff. And so I guess what I want to say is what they are used to doing is the elders they have an elder nominating process, and so the time that someone is being kind of considered for elder, they are, you know, the congregation, if they don't already know them, they get to know them, and they ask them questions and see, you know, where their heart is. Once they have been, you know, become an elder, then it's the elder team that ultimately makes the certain decisions, but it's not that the church members don't have a voice. They just don't do a vote. So even when they come to a big decision, they tell the church what's going on, and they give the church, the congregation, an opportunity to voice their opinions, to voice their thoughts. So it does look a little different, but like I've said before, it's working for them, right? There are certain churches where that approach is not working, right? There's certain churches where a congregational approach works and certain churches where it doesn't work, and they can't get anything done. So in my view, what matters most is it seems that their approach is working and the Holy Spirit is moving. And but that is something to consider. It is different than what we have here. So the committees would look a lot different. Yes, they have, that was the ministry team leaders, I think, is their terminology that they use. So they would still have teams, you know. It's not like everything, you know. A lot of times the elders don't even have to make those decisions because the ministry team leaders are making most of the decisions. So it's not going to be as different as I think it might sound initially. For example, like the worship leader. she decides the songs. Like, the elders don't vote on the songs, right? She's still in charge of her ministry area, the kids' ministry. I forget the ladies' names that are in charge of that. They decide on, you know, things for the kids' ministry. So everybody that's in charge of that ministry still kind of decides that. So the elders are there more of as a shepherding, you know, protecting the flock, those kinds of things. And from time to time, they make those kind of, you know, overarching decisions. But it's not like they make every decision and everyone just has to do what they want to do. That's not what it is. Yes, Ronnie. Do they have a Wednesday night service? I'm trying to remember. I don't know. I know they... I'm not sure. I know they have youth. Was it Wednesday night? Yeah, and they have... Right, yeah, yeah. I don't think that would be an issue. I mean, if, you know, I don't think he's going to say no prayers allowed, you know. I don't think that's the way he is, so. But good question. Yes. That's a great question. So something to understand about their history is Pastor Bobby, right, that he was ordained as a Baptist preacher. Their executive pastor, Wes, was ordained as a Baptist preacher. They actually wanted to start it, the church, the Ridge Church. Initially, they went to the Tennessee Baptist Convention and were trying to get support. And they... Right, right. So they did not give a favorable amount of... They did not support. They basically said, you're kind of wasting your time to start a church in Oak Ridge. That's what the Baptist Convention said. And so he wanted to go that route initially. So he went a different route. But their views are very, very similar. So I don't think that that would be an issue. We've talked about being dually aligned, which means their network is Missionary Church USA. And it's very similar to ours. It's just a little bit more... It's very focused on missions, right? And then so being dually aligned with, like, Southern Baptist is all going to be very cohesive. I don't think that you're not really going to notice anything different there. So, but great question. Yes, Gail. Sorry, I'll get you. That's a good question. Like I said, their worship leader is a woman. Their children's directors are women. Women are very much involved in their leadership. Now, they're... they don't have deacons currently, but they're actually wanting to have deacons. And so there would be a kind of a blending of leadership there. So they're all about women in ministry helping out. Now they don't necessarily, believe that a woman should be an elder. Okay. So that is a difference. But they are still very, very much involved. Have women involved. And again, like the worship leader, she makes the decisions about what happens in worship. Like, they're in charge of that ministry, and so they give them the reign to do that, you know. So it does look a little different, but I think they're doing it in a way that is working. So, Nathan, sorry. Yeah. Right. Right. That's a great question. We are still working out a lot of the details. Both of our roles would adjust a little bit from what we're currently doing. I mean, we're wearing a lot of hats here currently. So because we would have more people available, it allows us to kind of focus in a little bit more and not have to, you know, do so many different types of roles. So yes, we would still be involved, but it would look a little different. Well, yeah, there's different, you know, like I said, with the worship, and like both of us would be involved on the teaching team, that we would still be have the opportunity to preach. Like I said, Bobby preaches like 35 times a year currently. And so, Wes, and I think his name is Steve, preaches. And so we would be joined in on that and, you know, so we still get a chance to lead in that way, but it will look a little different. But again, it's what's going to build the kingdom, advance the kingdom the most. And so that's what we're trying to do, is fill in maybe like gaps. They've got areas in their church life where they're like, we need somebody here to lead, and we've not had that person. And so we're kind of figuring out, like, you know, would you be interested in leading in this way? Would you be interested in leading in this way? And we're still trying to figure some of that out. I'm personally excited about the direction that they have. Yes, Gail. Right. Again, all that we're still trying to figure out. And Yeah, I it's kind of a sensitive topic. And so, I want to make sure, I want to be respectful of those people. So I'd kind of rather not talk about that in front of everybody. I'd rather just kind of talk about that with those particular people. And again, we're still in the brainstorming process. So I guess that's how I'll answer that for now. Until we have something a little bit more defined, I don't want to throw out a brainstorming option and then it not actually be the direction we go. But things will be different. Like I said, things will be different. So we're still trying to figure that out. Marilyn.
How many paid staff do they have?
So Bobby is only full-time. Pastor Bobby is only full-time. Wes is part-time. As far as I know, the others have, like the other ministry leaders, have like supplements, I think. I'm not really sure. Stipends, yeah. Stipends. But he's the only full-time. Someone else had a hand. Yes.
What would happen with the children's ministry?
Right. So, again, their children's ministry is blossoming. They've got a lot of kids, a lot of help, a lot of support. So we're the joining church. So we're going to follow their lead and do what we can to kind of bring our support in the best way that we can. We've not talked specifically a whole lot about what that will look like as far as details, but their children's ministry is much larger from just in size, and so we've been trying to build our children's ministry here for years, and it's hard sometimes to do that when you've just got such a few number of students. It's hard to get the momentum when you've got two or three kids or three or four kids. But when you have 10 or 15 kids, things start to move a little bit more easily. So that will be a huge positive change in the kids' ministry. These are all great questions. Does somebody else have a question? Yes. That's a great question. I'm not sure I know how.
Well, we looked at the clause.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be in any violation of the clause. Maybe, is that what you're referring to, the clause in our property deed?
No.
Okay. Then what are you referring to? Sorry.
My concern is the legality of who's going to end up owning this property.
Okay. Yes. Yes, we would follow the same thing that Central Baptist Bearden of Oak Ridge recently did. They were a complete dissolution, and then Grace Baptist Church from Carnes came in and purchased their property, and it is now owned by Grace. On day one, when Grace launched over there, did you hear how many people attended church? 400 people showed up for church there. And so this is not an uncommon thing. This happens in churches across our country all the time. There's mergers, there's new campuses for large mega churches, and these kind of things happen. And so you just got to really take inventory. You know, how long do we want to keep trying to make things work, or do we want to really invest in a church that is growing and blossoming and see that kingdom growth take place here? And so, yes, we'll have to get in touch with a lawyer and to make sure the lawyer, does all the filing with our 403(1)(c)(b), whatever that is, and yeah, that thing, and then the bridge would take ownership of our property there, but these things do happen, and a lawyer can give us the correct course to follow for that. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so you mentioned that Grace came in and purchased that property. Where did that money go?
Well, I don't know the selling price or anything, but on paper, that's what it looks like. You know, that's what it appears to be, that Central is, you know, dissolving as a church. They no longer exist, and now Grace exists in their place instead. And so what that looked like behind the scenes financially, I have no idea there, but. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No.
Talk about sometimes the joining church is like gifting assets to the lead church. So maybe not necessarily a purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The joining church gives the gift, so the church can be the gift.
Yeah, the facility. But on day one, can you imagine this sanctuary being filled? It's exciting. Any other questions? Yeah, well, this is just really information from one meeting that we've had with them. We've had two meetings, but the first meeting was just kind of a get-to-know-you meeting, and I don't feel like we accomplished anything that meeting early. So this is really just some information that we wanted to share with you, just to let you know, hey, wheels are turning. We are meeting with them, but It's going slow, but ideally they would like to see things to happen this fall. If not, the latest would be the first of the year. But and they could. You know, we could start meeting together before all the legal paperwork got finished if we were all in agreement there, if we both churches had their vote and said, let's just start meeting together, you know, that could happen. Any other questions? Yeah. Gail.
I'm still harking back to the elder lens.
Okay.
Because that's very foreign to me.
Sure.
Why are there no women?
Why are there no women? Well, they do have a very good pamphlet on their website. I'll direct you to that, Women in Ministry, and it will show you, you know, just how they value women, and there are places for women to serve there. And we can talk more about that next time.
But now, we're not your typical Baptist church.
Right.
Because I've never been to a Baptist church that has been the deacons.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm okay with whatever. I've been to all of them.
Thanks, Norma. Any other questions? Judy. Absolutely. That is not set in stone. That was a recommendation from the Ridge that they maintain their name because they have lots of equity in the community so far with ministry that they've done in the schools and community groups as the Ridge. But it would not be impossible to go with one suggestion that we've heard, which was the Ridge at Robertsville. You know, that's that could certainly be on the street name out there, but maybe on paper to save the cost of them having to dissociate their church name and become a new church with all new paperwork. Maybe it stays the Ridge on paper, but then it's the Ridge at Robertsville as we know it, on the signs and on business cards. We are as Robertsville, but they wouldn't have to unless they disassociated, which I don't know. There are ways around that. Lawyers can show us maybe how to change names, but yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. All right, thanks, Ann. Yeah, you can get the book on Audible. Any other questions? I'll turn it back over to Josh.
Okay, a lot to think about, a lot to listen to the Holy Spirit about. Again, we want to make sure this is Spirit-led, not just like a financial decision or a practical decision. We want to be followed by the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, spend some time asking the Lord, you know, Lord, is this what you feel like is this what you want us to do? And listen, and be willing, be flexible. I guess I would encourage us to be flexible and to what he wants us to do. So if there's no other questions, any other questions before we dismiss? All right, let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you that you are moving in our midst and you are moving at Ridge Church, Lord, and we want to do your will. Would you make that very clear and very evident to us and give us a peace about the right decision to make, and that we can do it for your glory and for your praise. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here. Good night.